Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, we thank you for your word. As we're studying it together today, I once again ask that you would cause us to rightly divide the word of truth, that we might properly interpret Scripture, and then that you would give us, through your Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the insight, the discernment to know how to take these truths, these principles, and to apply them into our lives in a very real way this day and this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, it's time for a poll. This is not a political poll. You're getting enough of those phone calls without me. This poll is that I want to know how you would rate yourself regarding your level of patience. Okay, here's the question. The question is, how patient do you think you are? And I'm going to have you raise your hands for whatever sentence best describes you. This is going to be on a 1-4 measurement scale, with 1 being not patient at all and 4 being very, very patient. So here's your options. Number 1, I am not patient at all. And this would be for those of you who are thinking, I'm irritated that you're doing a stupid poll right now instead of getting on with this. Okay, get your hands up. Okay, looks like just a few of you are pretty impatient. Okay, here's number 2. I am often impatient. I may not lose my cool every day, but it's tough to go a whole week. Okay, anybody? Yeah, pretty good showing here. All right, here's number 3. I am usually patient. I do lose my cool, but it's seldom, and it takes a fair bit to get me riled. Anybody? Oh, there's the majority of you. So you would say that you are fairly patient or usually patient. And then the last one, I am a very patient person. I never lose my temper. I almost never exhibit any signs of impatience. How many of you? 1, 2, 3. Okay, there's a few of you. Thank you. Okay. And those of you who just had your hands up for that last one, you're welcome to go at this point because I'm not talking to you. We're dealing with others. I've heard it said that patience is the quality that you admire in the driver behind you, but you can't stand in the driver who's in front of you. Okay, you can relate to that. Our passage says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. If we were to do a 21st century paraphrase of this Ephesians message, it might say, I urge you to drive in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Drive with patience. How many of you drive with patience? Oh, there's some. There's some hesitancy there. All right, well, let's get on with our study and see how it applies. You can see that I've already written out the first question for you. What is patience? And before I give you an answer to fill in the blanks there, let me just make a couple of observations. There are several scriptural concepts that can be translated into the English word patience, or that may be related to our idea of patience. Now, our key verse here in Ephesians 2, our 4:2, speaks of patience, or according to some of your translations, the word is long-suffering. The Old King James uses that. It's actually probably a better word in the long run for interpreting the original Greek word there, because the original Greek word simply means that it takes a long time to get your wrath showing. So long-suffering, meaning that you will deal with a lot before it finally comes to the surface. It essentially means that you've got a long fuse, and you don't just blow up immediately. So long-suffering is actually a very good word, but it's not a word that we use a lot in our culture anymore outside of Bible circles. So patience is still probably the best translation. So our key verse speaks of patience, but that trait is immediately followed by the concept of forbearance. And I'm not going to address forbearance because that's what we're going to look at next week. We're going to deal with that a little more closely. There's also the patience of Romans 8:25. You don't have to turn over there right now. But it says this, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now, this is actually a different Greek word, and many of our more modern translations will translate it somewhat different from patience. It'll actually translate it as endurance. And we would see endurance and patience as being very closely connected. And indeed, I believe they are even in the Scripture. In the Old Testament, the phrase slow to anger is the equivalent of the New Testament expression patience. So, for example, when the Septuagint was written, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament, they often use the same Greek word patient that shows up whenever the Hebrew expression here is there. But we had translated into this phrase slow to anger, which again seems to indicate this idea of a long fuse, or we don't blow up easily. All of these ideas are so intertwined that it's difficult to separate them into distinctly different traits. However, this morning we are going to focus primarily on patience as it is expressed in this definition. So point A, and here's your definition. Patience is being able to remain calm and not become annoyed when waiting for a long time, or when dealing with difficult people. So I've given you several blanks to fill out there. And by the way, this is right out of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, so it shouldn't be difficult for you to find this definition as you look it up in your dictionaries at home or online. I looked at a lot of different dictionaries, and I found that this one was the most thorough, and it covered the most ground. Patience is just what we say it is, just what we think it is. So again, looking at our definition, patience is being able to remain calm and not become annoyed. Now, just pause right there, because in my mind, these are two different things. To remain calm and not become annoyed. Well, I can tell you, there are times when I remain calm, but I'm pretty annoyed. Can you relate to that? You know what I'm talking about? So, you know, outside, yeah, I remain calm. But here's to remain calm and not become annoyed. So I start failing on that particular one. When we're waiting a long time, or when we're dealing with difficult people. So we're going to elaborate on that. We're going to evaluate this concept of patience, which I think is very true in terms of the biblical principle of patience. And we're going to apply it to our lives today. Let's look at a couple of things that are involved in biblical patience. Point B, patience involves a humble recognition that you are the recipient of God's great patience. Patience on your part involves a humble recognition that you are the recipient of God's great patience. Indeed, if we go back to our key passage that we've been in for several weeks now, here in the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 4, we saw that the first characteristic that he used to describe what it means to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've received is humility. So here we've got humility followed by gentleness and then patience. And I think these are all very closely connected, as is the next point that we're going to get to next week of loving forbearance. So we're going to deal with all of these together next week. But right now I want us to see that there is a humility that is necessary in order for us to really have the kind of patience that the Bible says we need to have. That humility would be recognizing that God shows us patience. And I think one of the greatest passages we can use to explore this is to see the parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 23. I'm going to read several verses for you, so just listen as I read through these. Matthew 18:23. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me." He fell down before the master and pleaded, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything," he said. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" Now, clearly, there's several biblical truths being taught here, but let's just focus on this concept of patience today. The first servant, owing 10,000 talents, falls down before his master and says, "Please be patient, and I will pay you." And his master said, "I'll forgive you everything. You don't even have to pay it back." The second servant fell down before the one who had been forgiven, and he said, "Please be patient, and I'll repay you." The second servant refused to be patient, refused to forgive, and instead ordered him to be put in jail. And then the report came back to the master. And the master called him in front of him and said, "You wicked servant. You asked for patience. I forgave your debt. Someone else asked you for patience for something far less, only 100 talents instead of 10,000 talents, and yet you had him thrown in jail." Now, clearly, what this passage is intending to teach us is that God is our master, and that God shows us a level of patience that surpasses anything that we'll ever show to someone else. And yet, so often, we find ourselves not recognizing that we are the recipients of God's great patience. So patience involves a humble recognition that you are the recipient of God's great patience. God shows you patience on an ongoing basis. Great patience. He knows everything about you, all the bad things you know about yourself, as well as the things you don't know about yourself. He knows it, and yet He is patient. Secondly, or point C, patience involves cooperating with God as He brings others to faith and maturity. Patience involves cooperating with God as He brings others to faith and maturity. When Paul wrote to the believers in Thessalonica, he said to them, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, "We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Now, on the surface, this seems to apply primarily to believers, but we can expand that application and recognize that we need to be patient with all, because there are some who have not yet accepted Christ as Savior, and God is at work drawing them to Himself in genuine faith. And there are others who have already become Christians, and God is at work in them, bringing them to spiritual maturity. So patience involves cooperating with God as He brings others to faith. So we have these unbelievers out there that God is already at work in ways that we may or may not be able to see, and we are to exercise a degree of patience with them, recognizing that God is the one that can bring about those changes. A scenario might appear like this. You may have people in your family or friends, loved ones that are close to you that are unbelievers. And perhaps over the years you've attempted to share with them about the love of Jesus. And maybe even in recent years or months it seems that they have gotten less receptive to such a message, that they are getting resistant and perhaps even angry, and they may seem to be more firmly established in their rejection of truth than ever before. And it's at times like this that we have a tendency to kind of want to write them off, isn't it? We think there's no way those people are ever going to make this kind of decision. I would submit to you that there is a possibility that the expression of their increased hostility toward truth may well be because God is getting so close to bringing them to Himself that they are fighting tooth and nail to try to keep from taking that last step. That's not an unusual situation. And so what appears to us to be an absolutely settled, these people will never accept Christ, may well be just the moment before they're ready to finally take that step, because God brings them to a point of brokenness. And it's at that point that we need to recognize God is at work. I may or may not see it, but God is at work. And I need to cooperate with God. And so instead of becoming impatient with this stupid jerk that appears to never be willing to get his act together, I'm going to exercise patience in cooperation with God so that God can use me in that sense to bring this person to Himself. Or perhaps it's someone who's already accepted Christ. I think many times we find ourselves more impatient with someone who professes to be a Christian than with those who do not. But patience involves cooperating with God as He brings others to faith and maturity. So we are supposed to be patient with them all, even as we're working, admonishing the idle, encouraging the faint-hearted, helping the weak. We're patient with them because God is bringing them toward maturity. Now, every one of us, once again, we are the recipients of God's great patience. And sometimes we have fought tooth and nail against God because of a certain lesson He wants us to learn, and we've been reluctant to accept that lesson. He disciplines us, and perhaps we've fought back in anger, like a teenager who doesn't want to submit to his parents. And we've been there spiritually in our relationship with God. From the outside, it may look like that we're losing here. There's no way we're going to make the right decisions in life. But the reality may be that God is disciplining us to bring us to that point of full surrender to Him. When we see someone else who seems to be in rebellion against God, sometimes it's enough to make us lose our patience. We no longer feel patient toward that person. And we may use the comment, well, they should know better than this. Well, yeah, they should. So should you. And yet we do those kinds of things. So we need to be patient, recognizing that God is at work in ways that we can't always see. And He may well be bringing them to a point of spiritual maturity at a key time when you have the opportunity to either show patience or show impatience. So let's answer this question. Why should you be patient? It's the second one on your outlines. And I'm going to give you a list of reasons. This is not an exhaustive list. I'm sure we could come up with many more. But I think that this will well put our point before you. You should be patient, first of all, because God is patient. We've already established this parable earlier speaks of the master being patient with the offender, and God is certainly patient with us. As we go back to the Old Testament, I've given you a reference out of Joel chapter 2 today, and that's just one reference among scores of references that say very similar things. So Joel chapter 2 verse 13 says, "Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger." That's the word that would be equivalent to patient. Slow to anger, patient, and abounding in steadfast love. And He relents over disaster. All through the Old Testament, as we go through the prophets and the places where God revealed Himself in one way or another, we see this expression that our God is a God who is slow to anger, a God who is patient. God is patient. That's a part of His characteristics. And we should be patient because our Heavenly Father is patient. God wants us to be Christ-like. Christ, God in the flesh, is patient with us. We, therefore, should be patient with others. So there's good enough reason right there of why we should be patient, because God is patient. But let me give you another point B. We should be patient because patience is an indicator of a worthy walk. This takes us back to our key verses here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. God has called us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. That is, the calling of being the sons and daughters of God. Our patience is not in order to bring us into a right relationship with God. It is that God expects us to do this as a result of being in that right relationship with Him. The indicator of a worthy walk suggests that if I am trying to live a life that is worthy of that calling, one of the ways that you're going to be able to see that in my life is through my level of patience. My patience with whatever happens to be going around me. And we could also reverse that and say that my impatience is a clear indicator that I am not walking a life worthy of the calling to which I've been called. Now, it's easier perhaps for us to look at it in terms of I need to try to be more patient rather than having to look at this negative part of saying if you're an impatient person, then you're not living a life worthy of the calling. And yet that's exactly what it's about. That doesn't reflect the love of Jesus. It doesn't reflect the patience of God Himself. We need to be patient as God is patient, because that's an indicator of a worthy walk. Here's a third one. You should be patient because patience is an expression of love. Most of us are very familiar with the great love chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that gives us a beautiful description of love. And top of the list there is that love is what? Patient. Love is patient. God wants us to be patient because patience is an expression of love. It's easy for us to say, I love you, and yet be very impatient. Matter of fact, sometimes we even do that. Well, I do love you. It's just that. And then we go off with whatever it may be. God wants us to express patience, because patience is an indicator of true love. If you want to love the way God loves, there's going to be patience involved. So there's a good reason why we should be patient, because God is love and because patience, love is a part of love, an expression of love. Point D, patience is more valuable than physical strength. Now, for many of us here, perhaps we've long passed the day of our peak strength, and so you may think, oh, at least I got this one covered. But listen to what it says here. This is from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So whoever is slow to anger, meaning whoever is patient. Whoever is patient, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Better meaning this is a more preferred characteristic. This is something of greater value than physical might. So as we look at how strong we can get, how mighty we can be, if you want something that is more valuable than that, we're going to go to being slow to anger. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. In other words, to rule your spirit means to have a degree of self-control. Self-control is intertwined with patience. If you're patient, you're going to be self-controlled. So whoever rules his spirit, you control your spirit so that it doesn't just fly off the handle at will. It is controlled by you, by God's Holy Spirit within you. And whoever rules his spirit, shows that kind of patience, is better, in terms of more valuable, than he who takes a city. So this is better than, more valuable than physical strength is what he's saying here. That's the value of patience. We need to have that kind of patience in our lives. And we live in a culture that seems to be just the opposite of that today. We live in a culture that seems to suggest that might makes right. That if you know that you're right about something, then you need to fight for it. You need to make sure that others know it. We live in a culture where it seems that the way you win an argument is by getting loud. Well, that brings me to point E. Patience is more valuable than debating skills. Have any of you watched any of the recent debates? I have not. I've heard about them. I've read about them. Frankly, I'm not sure my patience can deal with it. Anyway, patience is more valuable than debating skills. Proverbs 17:27 says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Now that word, cool spirit, is the same Hebrew word that is translated patience or slow to anger in other passages. So it's the same concept. They're just looking at it in the context of interaction between people. He who has a cool spirit is more valuable than a man, is a man of understanding. He's more valuable than those who do not restrain their words. Again, our culture today is such that it seems like those who end up in any kind of a debate, right now we're all surrounded by political debates, that it's all about who can argue the loudest. And that as long as you can get your point made louder and more forcefully than the other guy, that you're supposedly winning this debate. Well, that is not what the Bible tells us. That is not valuable. And by the way, if you're looking for that in a leader for our country, you are not looking for what God desires. God desires somebody who has patience. This is a biblical characteristic. Indeed, we look at Proverbs 25:15, another reference I've given you there, and it says, with patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. A ruler may be persuaded. That is somebody who already has authority, somebody who has a degree of control, who can make these decisions. How are you going to get through to them? Well, according to the Scriptures, patience. You're going to need patience. Again, that's not our way anymore. Our way is, get a bunch of signatures and a petition and storm the White House and scream louder than anybody else. That is not the way to bring about God's design. So we need to recognize the value of patience over debating skills. That's not to say that there's no place for debates. I think there's good value in debates where it reveals the truth about where you stand and whether or not somebody is holding to a biblical perspective of this world, of this life. But in terms of value, patience is more valuable than debating skills. Point F, you should be patient because effectively communicating God's truth requires patience. Effectively communicating God's truth requires patience. Paul wrote to young pastor Timothy to encourage him in what he was doing and to try to help him make the most of the opportunities that were afforded him. And he said in 2 Timothy 4:2, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Teach with patience, he tells Timothy. And even though this is true for a pastor, this is true for all of us, because the same principle is true no matter where you're at. Effectively communicating God's truth requires patience. And especially right now in this day and age, because there are so many who take the truth and twist it to mean exactly the opposite of what the Bible actually says. And then they use the Bible as their defense for doing something that the Bible, by the way, says is an abomination and an offense to God. And then they use that in order to shout down someone like me, someone like us, who would say, that's not what the Bible says. And they say, yes, it is. And then we get into this shouting match. How are you going to win those kind of arguments? Shout louder! No, that is not the answer. That's the answer to the opposition. That's what they would do. But that's not what the Bible says. We are supposed to exhort, rebuke, reprove with complete patience and teaching. And so at those times when somebody, especially when I hear somebody taking the Word of God out of context and using it to defend something that is inherently wrong, I got to tell you, it's hard for me to be patient. I want to light into them. I want to let them have it. You know, just right upside the head right now. Pray for me, my brothers and sisters. But anyway, I get irritated at those things, and I really have to put into practice what the Scriptures say. That is not the right response. Yes, they're being fools. They are being foolish according to the Word of God. Yes, they are abusing the truth, but the right answer is not for me to turn around and start hitting them over the head with it in an angry manner. Rather, to teach with patience. And the same thing would be true for every one of us here. We need to be patient. Even as we're trying to confront the errors of this world. Because effectively communicating God's truth requires patience. I've given you one more. God wants to use you to help others develop patience. You should be patient because God wants to use you to help others develop patience. Now, when I was working through this message, and I wrote this statement down, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, this needs some clarification. God wants to use you to help others develop patience. And it needs clarification because you need to understand that that doesn't mean he wants to use you being a jerk so that other people will get patience. That's not what I'm saying here. He wants to use your patience to help others develop patience. So for those of you who thought this was a great reason for you to go home and just really light into whoever, and then when they say, don't treat me that way, you can say, well, God's teaching you patience. No, that's not where we're going with this. God wants to use your patience to help others develop patience. And I point you to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, where we read, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So the writer of Hebrews tells us that we should look to others, and specifically we would be looking at Bible characters, but it wouldn't be restricted to them, that we should look to others who are showing the kind of patience that God teaches, and we should use them as our example. We should be imitators of them. So to apply that to our lives, we should be living in such a way that others can look at us to see the right way to handle situations that might normally lead to bursts of anger, impatience. That others can look at my life and say, that's the kind of patience that I want in my life. Now, I don't know where you're at right now. Some of you may be thinking nobody would ever say that about you, but if that's the case, then you know where you need to work. Allow God to be able to develop this in you. But God wants to use you, that is your patience, to help others develop patience so that they can use you as an example. Now, as we think about that, the likelihood is that some of you are thinking, okay, well, you've told me that that's why I need to be patient, but how in the world am I supposed to get patience? Well, I'm glad you asked, because question 3 answers that. How can you get patience? Number 3. And I'll first of all point out that patience is a supernatural fruit of the Spirit. So, point A, walk by the Spirit. How can you get patience? Walk by the Spirit. And I'm going to be reading from Galatians chapter 5. It's just a couple of pages back from where you're at. So turn over to Galatians chapter 5, please. Patience is a supernatural fruit of the Spirit. So let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's talk about walking by the Spirit and how that helps us get patience. Beginning with verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say, walk by the Spirit. There's the command. That's what you just filled in the blanks. This is how you get patience. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What's next? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How do you get patience? You walk by the Spirit, and then the fruit of the Spirit produces in you patience, among other things. Patience is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And although imperfect imitations of the fruit of the Spirit are often seen in unbelievers, only a Christian, that is, only one who has personally received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, who has asked forgiveness of sins through Jesus, who is the sinless one, only one who believes that Jesus died on the cross and was raised to life again, and He is the way, the truth, and the life, only one who has made a commitment to Jesus can truly have the fruit of the Spirit. Only a born-again believer can have true patience. Now, someone who is not a believer can have this imitation patience. And the truth is that many people are just naturally more patient than others, right? Some of you here, you raise your hand on the saying, I'm a completely patient person. And maybe that's been your whole life. You've always been that way. And that's good. You know, praise God for those of you who are very patient. We're grateful for that. But for people who have never accepted Christ, having a naturally patient disposition does not mean that they are true Christians. Nor does it mean that they are having true patience the way the Bible describes patience. It may simply be a matter that they're willing to put up with something a long time, but inside there's other things going on. You know how that is? Yeah, there often is. So if you want to have true biblical patience, the fruit of the Spirit, it starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So for those of you who were thinking, okay, well, in order for me to have a right relationship with God, I just need to go out of here and try to be more patient. That would only be true if you have already accepted Christ as Savior. But if you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, then going out of here and being a more patient person is not going to make any difference in the long run, because you're still going to end up in hell. Because you don't get to heaven by being a patient person. You get to heaven by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that's the only way you get to heaven. And once you've accepted Jesus Christ, then God begins a work within you, changing the way you respond to life around you and giving you such things as the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. So you need to make sure, first and foremost, that you are right with God by having given your life to Jesus Christ, received forgiveness of sins, and committing yourself to Jesus as Lord, as Master, as the King of your life. And if you've not done that, today needs to be that day. If you've already made that commitment, then for sure you do need to be more patient. All of us do. But you're going to do that by allowing God's Holy Spirit to develop that in you, which means you're going to have to walk by the Spirit. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? How am I going to put this into practice in a very concrete way? Well, first of all, point B, ask God to make you sensitive to signs of impatience. Ask God to make you sensitive to signs of impatience. Do you recognize your impatience when it's coming? That's a yes or no question. Okay, there's hesitancy out here. And that's probably right, because we kind of do, and yet so often it sneaks up on us, doesn't it? And we look back a second later and think, wow, that wasn't very patient. Okay, so we know these things have a way of just coming out. So you need to ask God to make you more sensitive. Impatience. You may regularly ask God for forgiveness for your lack of patience after you've exhibited some, outburst, and then you have to come to God. God, please forgive me. I know I shouldn't have said that. But how about becoming more proactive in dealing with the problem? Let's take David's approach. In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, David said this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, it may be that David was dealing with a specific sin that had come up in his life, but the implication of the whole psalm, Psalm 139, suggests this is not. He was having a close walk with God, and yet even in his close walk, here's his prayer. "Search me and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He was being proactive. He was saying, "Lord, I want your direction in my life. I want to be sensitive to anything that might not be right so that I can get it right by your grace." I think that's the approach that all of us need to take. It's not just a matter of asking forgiveness for when we've blown it. It's praying for God's direction so that we won't continue to blow it, that we won't continue to go back there and do the same things. God wants to help you conquer those grievous ways that are in you, to use David's words here. He wants to make you sensitive to signs of impatience. Let's go back to Galatians 5. We were there a few moments ago. Let me read verses 19 through 21 again, where he describes the works of the flesh. In 23 and 24, he describes the fruit of the Spirit, but that's contrasted with the works of the flesh. So here's what he says in verses 19 and following. "The works of the flesh are evident." And I'm not going to rehearse all of these. I'm going to focus on just a couple of them. "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. Impatience brings strife, doesn't it? Strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Impatience brings fits of anger. Rivalries, dissensions, the inability to get along with one another, divisions, a refusal to even attempt to get along with one another, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." So he's covered a broad range here. But strifes, fits of anger, we could, just to give you an application in the 21st century, we're talking about road rage here. Speaking of driving, okay, that so oftentimes we get in the car and it's like you're a different person when you're in that car. And the road rage tends to come out, and it's that lack of patience. You know, the other day I was sitting at some stoplight and there was one person in front of me from out of town, so I cut them a little slack, you know. But it's like the light turned green and everybody else was going. I mean, they were going both directions. And which, I was kind of sitting there. And Kim says, "You think they even know it's green?" I don't know. But at times like that, it's tempting to just want to, come on, the light's green. You just cost me 3 seconds. These fits of anger, this road rage that comes. And here's the thing. We get these things in our lives, and sometimes we don't even think about it, you know. They just come out. And perhaps, like me, you've had these times where you're driving and somebody does something, and maybe it's right here in Pahrump, you know, and you're driving and all of a sudden somebody cuts you off or whatever it is. And man, you just let it loose and you slam on the horn, or maybe you're the type that likes to just step on the accelerator and go, right there. I know the tricks. I know how this works. So, you want them to know, man, I saw what you did. And you're looking out the window, you know. And then maybe a half a minute later you're thinking, I wonder if anybody saw me, right? Because these things come out. Fits of anger, even the road. And we think to ourselves, we see these crazy people that they'll jump out of their car and we see it on the news and pull out a gun and take somebody's life. And we think to ourselves, man, I would never do that. Man, we are this far away from it, folks. This is an expression of the sin nature. And though you may be restrained enough to not pull the trigger on somebody, the reality is that you're showing the same signs as them when you do not control yourself, when you've got that level of impatience, when you are not being controlled by the Spirit, but you are exhibiting the works of the flesh. You see, we're all there, aren't we? We all struggle with this. We need to pray, God, make me sensitive to these signs of impatience. And so sitting there behind that person, you know, I got to admit, I'm sitting there thinking, should I honk the horn? And my problem with honking the horn is that it always sounds angry, you know. And I don't want to sound angry. I'd like a polite honk. The one that I press the button and it says, excuse me, the light's green. You know? But I think through these things as I'm contemplating that, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I need to do the right thing here. You know, it would be best if this person didn't make me wait through a whole nother cycle of lights. But how do I handle that? If we could think in advance before these wrong words start flowing out of our mouths, before our hostile actions start being out in front where everybody can see them, before we have these fits of anger and this road rage, and it doesn't have to be limited to the road, by the way. We do the same things in our homes. We need to think about those things. So when I say, Lord, make me sensitive to signs of impatience, really what I'm saying is, God, I want you to help me to recognize when those first thoughts are starting to play in my mind that are going to lead me down the wrong road so that I can address those now instead of after it's too late for me to take them back. Ask God to make you sensitive to signs of impatience. One of the ways you do that, point C, is to daily put on patience as a garment. Have you heard me say something like this before? I hope so. The last two sermons, this has been what we've been focusing on. Because we find there's several passages of Scripture that use this same concept. So as with humility and gentleness, the two characteristics that we've already looked at in this passage, patience must be intentionally put on daily, like a shirt. So you're going to take off the old dirty t-shirt of anger and wrath and unwholesome language, and you're going to instead, Colossians 3:12 says, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We're going to put this on every day. Now every morning you get up, you change out of your sleep clothes and you put on your outfit for the day. When you've got all your clothes in place, you go out and you do whatever it is that you're going to do. Well, we need to consider this getting dressed from a spiritual perspective. I have to get dressed every morning with the spiritual strengths that God wants in me. I have to put on not just patience, but also the humility and the gentleness and the other things that we've mentioned here. I got to put these on every day. I have to think consciously through, Lord, I know this is what you want me to wear. I know this is the outfit that I need to be clothed in. This is the demeanor that you want from me. And so I put these things on. And as I mentioned before, there's going to be times when in the middle of the day something happens and before you know it, you've lost your shirt. You know, you've thrown off that old the shirt that is the shirt of patience, and instead you put on the old dirty t-shirt of wrath and road rage, and there you are doing it again. Or you've responded to your spouse in a very negative way, or responded to your children in a very negative way, whatever it may be, and you realize, oh man, I put that shirt in the wrong place. So you take off the old dirty one again, and you put the right one back on. Put it on like a garment. This has to be a conscious decision on your part as a follower of Jesus Christ to put these things on, and you're praying, God, help me to know in advance when I'm tempted to take off that dirty shirt and take off the good shirt and put on the dirty one. Help me to know that. Help me to recognize that. And then finally, study and apply the biblical teachings on patience. Study and apply the biblical teachings on patience. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger. There's our expression, slow to anger or patient. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Now, good sense here may seem like common sense, but it's evident in our world today that such sense is far from common. It's almost non-existent, it seems. This good sense is synonymous with wisdom from God. This is not just common sense, not even just good common sense. This is wisdom from God. So we need to study God's Word to gain this kind of wisdom. We need to study God's Word in order to learn to be slow to anger, to learn patience. And we can study it from beginning to end, but let me give you a couple of suggestions. James encourages us to learn patience by studying the people of faith in the Old Testament. In James chapter 5, verse 10, he says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job and have seen the purposes of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And we're not going to get into a discourse about steadfastness and patience and whatever nuanced difference there may be. The focus here is patience. And he does say that we need to consider these Old Testament people of faith and see how they exhibited patience. You study their lives. And for those of you who raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm definitely a number one, no patience, I'm sick, I'm tired of this, let's just finish this message so I can get away from you. For those of you who are in that boat, I would encourage you to read Job. Because Job deals with hardship. And by the way, as you read through that, it's not always going to look like Job was being patient. Because he dealt with some hard things and he made some hard statements. Go back and read it. It will be beneficial for you. And as you read that and study it in its entirety, you're going to come to understand there's always a bigger picture. There's always something that God is doing that you can't see. And that can increase your level of patience. So you study the Old Testament prophets. Paul encourages us to learn patience by following New Testament, specifically by following his example. And his teachings in the New Testament. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says to his young pastor Timothy, he says, "You, however," verse 10, "have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." So he learned it in part from Paul. And Paul says, "I want you to follow my example. You have watched what I have done, and you've listened to what I have taught. Now you put those things into practice." So for those of us who are sitting here right now who know we need to work on patience, one of the ways we're going to get that is we are going to study God's Word, and we're going to look at how these people, these men and women of God, demonstrated patience. And by the way, you're also going to see some examples of where people were very impatient. And the Scriptures tell us, learn from that. Don't go down that road. So we can learn both from the negative and the positive. And I don't think this needs to be restricted to just what the Bible teaches, because even today there are those around you who are living godly lives and who show the kind of patience that there's biblical patience. Learn from them. Come alongside them. It's the kind of people that when you see them go through something, you think to yourself, how did they keep their cool in the midst of all of that? And that's a good time to come alongside and ask them. And if they're a godly Christian, they're going to tell you, it's only by the grace of God. And they're going to help you be able to grow in your faith as you learn from their example. By the way, the book of Proverbs is the ideal source for learning practical truths and applications for godly wisdom, including the character trait of patience. I've given you two examples here in your conclusion. Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Slow to anger is patience. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. How many of you already knew that? Most of you, I trust. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. Yeah, so when you're with somebody who tends to lose their cool very soon, you can be sure it's not going to be pleasant and that others around them are soon going to follow suit. That's the way it works. The Scriptures are just giving us some obvious evaluations. But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Here's another one, Proverbs 14:29. "Whoever is slow to anger," or patient, "has great understanding. But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." In other words, if you lose your temper, you're acting like a fool. That's what the Scriptures are telling us. He who has a hasty temper, a short fuse, who blows up too quick, he exalts folly. That is not honoring to God. It's honoring to God to be slow to anger and have great understanding. The truth is that all of us here need more patience. Even those of you who said, "Yeah, I'm always patient," you know in your mind there's things that go through there that you wouldn't want anybody to hear. You wouldn't want them to see. I mean, yeah, we try to be patient on the outside. Maybe you're really just a coward because you don't want to get in a fight. But we deal with these things. All of us here need patience. But unfortunately, most of us don't have the patience that it takes to develop it, right? Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22. And that's probably because so many people are only playing Christianity instead of genuinely following Jesus Christ and living as his disciples. So let me conclude with this. A lack of patience is an indicator of immaturity. So grow up in Christ. A lack of patience is an indicator of immaturity. If you are an impatient person, you need to grow up. Grow up in Christ. Grow up by coming close to the Lord. There are so many verses in the New Testament especially to talk about growing up in our faith, growing up in Christ, growing up towards spiritual maturity. This is what God desires from every one of us here. And I'm confident that just being here today, God has brought to our minds things that need to be addressed with regards to this issue of patience. And that patience is not just determination. It's not self-will. This patience is God-given patience, the fruit of the Spirit, which means that you got to get closer to God. So if you have never accepted Christ as Savior, today needs to be that day because you can't do this without Him. And just come and tell me that you're ready to make that commitment, and I will lead you through what the Bible says about how to be born again. If you're already a Christian, I encourage you, folks, draw closer to Jesus. Allow Him to be able to develop this kind of patience in you. Lord, I thank You for encouraging us today with regards to this particular characteristic. We do want to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. You call us sons and daughters. We are the children of God. And You want us to live in such a way that You are glorified in our lives. And whenever we act impatiently and we have fits of rage and anger and abusive language, none of these things bring honor to our Savior Jesus. All of them are a discredit to our faith. Forgive us, Lord, and develop within us hearts that are sensitive and responsive to Your Holy Spirit and lives that exemplify the fruit of the Spirit, including patience. In Jesus' name, amen.